on Coleman's Independent Radio Live 95. And that's called Molina. Jay Fuller, it's 4 o'clock. It's Thursday afternoon. 81 degrees outside. You would never believe that near the end of October. But what can I say? You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. We are WRJMLP Coleman. And that music means it is time for Sports Talk Live, this program that we do every Tuesday and Thursday. And today, Jason is on vacation, although if I remember correctly, I would not really call it a vacation. So Ronnie's going to try and go solo, and he'll have to put up with my editorial comments as we go. So, and thanks again to People's Bank for helping to make this show possible.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jay. Hey, appreciate everybody joining us today. It is 4:01, another beautiful October day. I believe today is the 13th, Jay. Is that correct?
That's correct.
October 13th. We're getting close to midway of the month. Halloween coming up before too long, Jay. I guess you have your costume by now.
We're a little bit past, like, halfway through football season, at least yes, the main play.
Yes, we are.
I know NFL goes forever, so.
Yes, it does. college is, you know, like I say, halfway, and our high school teams are certainly over halfway, so.
And no, I don't have my Donald Trump costume.
You do not have your costume. I was going to ask, are you going to, you know, you're going to dress up as Donald Trump?
Probably not.
This year? Probably not, okay. Before we get into sports, did you see, I'm sure you did, the little boy that was dressed up like Donald Trump, and he got him up on stage and was holding him, looked like he was about 2 years old,
I
two
did.
Or three.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, wasn't it?
What a world we live in.
What a world. What a world. Political season, I know that is a whirlwind. We don't talk too much politics here, but
I don't think we'd have enough time to talk
I don't
politics.
Think we would either. Jay, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Are you going to do a segment or a night where you do a political forum thing?
We are talking about it. Okay. Some of the interest that I had was, let's see if we can get maybe some of the local Republican what's it called? The Republican or Democrat, the local parties
yes,
here. See if they would sponsor maybe a forum. But then I got to thinking, well, we would also be talking about the local races, you know,
right.
The Senate races and things, in addition to the big kahuna in the room.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I would love to throw that together, and I've been even thinking, you know, what would be the best time frame, and maybe we would start it around 5 o'clock, maybe the day before the election, and run on
right.
up till 7 or 8, or just see how long the phones ring.
Yeah.
But working on that, and if it happens, we'll start running promos for it.
I got you. And I'm sure, you know, you're going to be, you'll be the only radio station around to be doing something like that, probably.
I would hope so. You know,
yeah.
we try to be community-minded here, and, you know, we've got a signal, we've got a lot of people who listen to us, so what better way to put that to work? And everyone's got an opinion, you know.
That's
and
right.
If you listen to enough people, then maybe. And I'm going to try to be a little editorial when I say this, but if you turn off the internet and you turn off
right.
the mainstream media and listen to one another, you might learn a little bit.
It's something that might have some truth and validity to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Or at least a more balanced opinion than what you're hearing everywhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jay, I know also, you know, that this past week was Oktoberfest, and I know you broadcasted from that, so did that go well? Everything great with the Oktoberfest festivities.
I would have been happy with a little bit more rain, not during the festival, but maybe in between the fair and Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be doing
yeah.
you know, that all the time.
I understand.
But they had a fantastic turnout. I believe it exceeded everyone's expectations all the way across the board. I even heard a rumor that was going around. This is almost funny. They ran out of beer on more than one occasion.
At Oktoberfest?
They had to make special runs to replenish the beer.
I guess that's a good problem to have. You know, I guess there was more consumption or more people than they anticipated.
I believe so.
Maybe both of those.
Probably, yeah.
Probably so. Hey, this is another kind of a public service announcement, Jay, before we get into sports. I saw this earlier today. There was a fire, maybe a house fire out in the Joppa area. I correct me if I'm wrong. There is no burning allowed right now.
I don't think anywhere in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
And I've also heard that they've got some fire, not forest fires, but pretty large fires burning around the interstate down around exit 300.
Oh, okay. I have not heard that. Down around Dodge City then.
Yeah, a little bit south of it, I think.
I got
or
you.
North of it.
North
yeah.
of that, yeah.
That would be around the rest area, I think.
Yes, it would. I believe, am I not correct, that the governor has signed a ordinance or whatever that there's no burning at all.
He hasn't been removed from power yet?
No.
Okay, I guess not.
Not as of today.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, you know, again, I know this is sports talk, but this kind of really rubs me when Governor Bentley comes out and takes back his endorsement of Trump.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I mean, isn't that kind of like the pot calling the kettle black?
All right, my opinion on that, and I'm, you know, not anywhere near an expert, but there's a certain group of people that have been in the political scene for quite a while that are beginning to look out for their own selves.
Yes.
And they're the ones who, I would say, you know, they have an opinion in public and they have an opinion in private.
Yeah, but I think we've heard that the last couple of days.
Publicly, they can't support Trump anymore because they're afraid that, you know, it's going to impact their vote, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of fear out there that... And I can't even wrap my head around all this because I keep hearing that they're worried that they're not going to be able to keep their seats. But who's telling me that? Well, the people on the other side are telling me that.
Right.
So I don't believe it. But the way I try to process that information, you know, my background is information technology. You work on a computer. You work on a phone. The phone doesn't have feelings. It's not going to be swayed one way or the other. So
absolutely.
You have to try to learn to be logical when you work on them. That's how I try to process information. So I hear these rumors and I make a mental note in the back of my mind, well, this could be true, but, you know, take into account where it's coming from.
Right.
And then everything begins to look, you know, a little bit different. So I don't know if the races are that distorted or not. I honestly don't. I don't think anybody else knows.
I don't know.
Even the main talking heads that you hear everywhere else, they'll tell you things, but they'll also say, we're not real sure either.
Right, right.
So everything's
That's what election night's for. You know, we'll get the truth will come out on election night.
I heard a comment on another radio station not too long ago where they were like, you know, the big talking heads, the mainstream media, I think Trump's actually referring to them now as the corporate media.
Okay.
They are carrying so much power, I guess, and I'm trying to figure out why I sound like I'm in an echo chamber. This is crazy. They keep making these comments about, you know, we're not sure of this, we're not sure of that, but here's how the polls are looking. You know, here's the sampling of this poll. And then the other side comes out and says, yeah, but here's how they got the samples. And if, you know, they're checking people who voted 4 years ago and they voted one way or the other, they're not taking into account all these people who have never voted or haven't voted in a decade.
Right.
Who are coming out for Trump. And basically, what I heard on the radio station was, is the mainstream media going to be so powerful that they come out and they call this election prior to all of the results being in?
Yeah.
And go ahead and the mainstream media decides who the next president is. And even if the race is so close to call or back like, you know, in the year 2000, are they going to try to solidify it so much that it would cause such an uproar if, you know, it were contested?
Right.
And I don't know how that would go down.
Oh, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. So, I know people smarter than me will have to figure that out or have already figured it out. So, but granted, it is a mess. No matter how you look at it, it's not a good situation to, you know, and irrelevant of what party you, affiliate yourself with. You know, I wouldn't say the choices are great either way.
I'm trying to convince myself, and that sounds a little bit better. I'm playing with knobs too.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to convince myself that I'm going to be okay either way.
Yeah.
My rolling mantra is the government doesn't control my life.
Right.
I control my life, and I don't care what happens up there.
Yeah.
And to an extent, that's true, but it's not. And I mean, there are ways to impact what happens up there.
Right.
But you also are in control of your own life and how much, I mean, just think about on an average day, because I only pay taxes once a year.
Right.
Or technically four times a year,
right.
But I don't like doing that either. You know, if you think about on a regular basis how much the government impacts your life on a daily basis, and there are a lot of ways that you don't think of. The health department, you know, they try to make sure that this is not going to kill you when you eat there and that type of thing. You know, the traffic lights, the streets. But other than that, you're the one pretty much in control of what you do, not the government.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to shut up for a moment and go answer this phone.
I got you. Thank you, Jay. Hey, I'm going to give a few shout-outs here before – we get started. First of all, the number 737-9505. If you want to give us a call, you got a few more minutes. I think we may have some.
We can continue this political talk live if you would like with Jeffrey, if you'd like to. So.
Hey, Jeffrey, how are you, man?
Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Hey, I'm just hanging in here. You know, Jason, he's kind of flown the coop on us today, so Jay and I are flying this ship solo, or, you know, a pilot and co-pilot, I guess.
Yeah, I've decided I'm going to play with my knobs.
There you go.
I don't think I'm echoing as much now.
I guess y'all get this. Oh, man. Let me start over. I guess y'all didn't get the text I sent Jason, then, did you?
No, I didn't get it. I got no text that you sent Jason. Sorry.
The SEC rescheduled that LSU Florida game.
Oh, did they?
Oh, okay. I have not heard that. Thanks, Jeffrey. Is this a joke?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
It's a joke. It's a joke. I guarantee it is.
No, seriously. It's been rescheduled for the day that they. Both of them are playing an out-of-conference game, November 19th. Scheduled it for that weekend, and not only have they scheduled it, they have moved it to Baton Rouge.
No.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. I haven't read the article. It just came out on the Bleacher Report update. I get on my phone, and I hadn't read the article as to why decided to move it to Baton Rouge.
Would you repeat that again, Jeffrey?
The game is November the 19th, I believe that's the date. It's whenever one of them is supposed to play, I think Presbyterian and LSU played South Alabama. Anyway, they had moved it to that weekend, that Saturday game,
nope.
And it has been changed to Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Boy, I didn't see that coming.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I would have to say that the commissioner basically just pulled that, you know, pull that trigger, not a good term, I guess, but made that decision himself. I can't imagine Florida agreeing to that.
Is that even a Saturday? I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's a Saturday.
Yeah, it's a Saturday. They were both supposed to play. I think Florida was supposed to play, I think, Presbyterian, I think, was the name. And then LSU was supposed to play South Alabama. And South Alabama really wanted to play the game because they'd already beaten Mississippi State.
Sure.
And as down as LSU was under Miles, there's a good chance they could have beat LSU.
Absolutely. My next question, Jeffrey, with them canceling those games, are they going to have to pay those universities?
Like I said, I don't know. I have not read the article. I just seen the headline come in on Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
And I could have read it, but I've been late calling y'all.
Sure, sure. Wow. I'm sure. I couldn't imagine those two schools, you know, being willing to just graciously bow out, because the only reason they play the larger schools is for that payday anyway.
Well, if they don't get a payday, if they don't get a check, expect the next headline to be South Alabama and Presbyterian sue the SEC.
Absolutely. Exactly.
And
do you think is South Alabama going to play Presbyterian now? They're both open.
Well, they might as well. Play a game that weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, why would they not?
The thing is, to me, it feels like it opens up a Pandora's box. And by saying that, it's because I've seen another Bleacher Report, I hadn't read it either, is that the SEC commissioner now has the right to step in and make two teams play if they want to agree to play.
Right, right. I would have to say the commissioner.
Can the fans vote on who they want to play and who they want people to play? I'd like to pick some different opponents for a couple of different teams.
I don't think you're going to see that. I might be wrong, but I don't think the fans are going to have anything to do. Fans going to have anything to do with that. Jeffrey, that had to be the commissioner.
Yeah, he had to step in and do that because that's the only way it would have got moved.
That's
back
right, because neither one of them was going to give.
Oh no. No, and what I can't figure out is what I don't understand. That's why I got to read the article, but I wanted to get y'all and tell you about it first.
Yeah.
But this is what I don't understand. Florida wasn't traveling to Presbyterian to play a game. It was going to be a home game for Florida because it's out of conference. You're not going to schedule an out of conference home game against somebody like that.
No, and travel, no.
So why could LSU not go to Gainesville that weekend?
Well, that was going to be my next question. Why?
The big deal is LSU didn't want to lose a home game. Well, guess what? Florida's lost two now.
Right. I would really like to hear some further explanation for the rationale behind all the decisions that were made. But the one you just mentioned is the best one. Okay. I get it, non-conference, no big deal. cancel that. But where was, why would it be difficult to say, okay, where was Florida and LSU going to originally play? They were going to play in Florida. Right. So if we're going to cancel a game and they're going to play, why would you not be playing at Florida? Why would it go to LSU?
The only thing I can figure is LSU is like, we're not going to play unless it's in Baton Rouge.
Well,
that weekend. We're not going to play that weekend unless it's in Baton Rouge. And he says, no, you're going to play it in Gainesville. LSU's like, well, go ahead and post for four, but we're not coming. That's the only thing I can think.
Well, okay, in that case, I take the forfeit, and if I'm Florida, I go ahead and play whoever I was originally going to play.
Exactly. if LSU takes the forfeit, they give Florida a win.
That's exactly right. And they've got to play that game to determine who's going to go out of the East into the SEC championship game. That's got to be played.
Exactly. So it's got to be a win or loss for somebody. And I'm like you. I don't get it. They're both. It's not like Florida was traveling that weekend and wasn't expecting to have a home game. They were going to have a home game that weekend. That's out of conference. So why not tell LSU? All right, y'all come on up.
Yeah.
And if LSU says I don't want to come, so what are you going for?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're going for. Let me tell you something, Jeffrey. You know as well as I do. They're not going to forfeit.
No.
They are not going for. Can you imagine what would be going on at LSU with the boosters and the fan base if they said, we're not coming to play, we're going to forfeit?
Well, I think this is a mark towards, what's his name, Sankey?
Yeah.
Because there ain't no way Sly would have let this happen.
No. It would have already been settled. This would have been taken care of. You know,
and we would have known when they were playing before the hurricane made it through.
That's right. There would already been
North Carolina line.
That's exactly right. There would already been a decision made. You know, I understand. You know, the hurricane and all that goes with that, and you want public safety is the utmost importance. I know there's a tremendous amount of power. People without power. That leads me to this question: was it so bad in that area that they could not have played on a Sunday like South Carolina and Georgia did? I mean, I don't know the answer to that. Or was there a place they could have played other than, you know, if they couldn't play, you know, at the University of Florida, was there somewhere else they could have played? I don't know.
Well, I'm like you. I don't know. They could have been played Sunday. It could have been played Monday night. You know, there's several options that could have happened.
I'm sure in Florida the resources were tapped pretty good, you know, with the hurricane. They don't want to, you know, overextend gas and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
That'd be my guess.
Okay. And that makes good sense. I know. Because
you heard it here first.
Yeah, I heard it here first. And, you know, there were places in Florida, certainly, that were without gas, you know, that people, as Jay said, tapped them out and headed north or, you know, east or west, I'm sorry, whatever the case may be. But, wow, Jeffrey, I did not know that. I did not know that that's the change that has been made.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get out of political debate.
No, that's fine. We needed to get
it out. Is Sports Talk Live.
We needed to get off of that anyway. So once again, for the folks who have maybe just turned the radio on, November 19th will be LSU and Florida played in Baton Rouge. Correct, Jeffrey?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right. Well, good deal.
If you can get a hold of Jason, I forwarded the link to him. If you can get a hold of him, have him forward it to you.
Let's see if we can call him right before he drops the couch. That'd be good.
Exactly right. Hey, Jeffrey, before I let you go, and we have to go to a break here in just a couple minutes, and I haven't gone through the high school stuff yet. I know Coleman is playing Southside of Gadsden this week. Are there Southside of Gadsden is coming to Coleman, I should say. Do you know anything? I mean, I have the records and those kind of things. Do you have a clue about Southside of Gadsden?
They're a really good team. They got a real good running back. They got a 4-star running back that's committed to Auburn.
Okay.
The losses they have on their schedule was losses that were acquired when he was hurt with a knee injury.
Okay.
So it's gonna be an
uphill battle.
What do they call it? A slobber knocker.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of them. So,
I got you.
Coleman wins. They should be hosting first round. If they lose, they're going to need some help to go to playoffs.
Yeah, there's like three teams that are, you know, they're kind of neck and neck there for fighting for a playoff berth. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so they're probably going
to. If Coleman loses, they're going to need some help from Fort Payne. Whoever loses this game, whether it be Southside or Coleman, They're going to need some help from Fort Payne to be able to make playoffs.
Okay, and Fort Payne, I don't think they've won a game, have they?
No, I don't think they have.
Yeah, I don't think they've won a game either. So this is game. They've played seven games so far. Friday night will be eight. They'll have two more. So basically, Coleman needs two out of the next three.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. To get in the playoffs. Anything less than that, they're gonna have to have a whole lot of help. Correct.
Exactly. That's correct.
Good deal. Hey Jeffrey, thanks man for giving us a call. I appreciate the heads up on November 19th. Did not know that.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day.
You got it. All right. Thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Uh-huh, bye-bye.
All right. Once again there, Jeffrey Sullins just told us about the...
Everybody can pull off the road and put the date on their iPhone.
That's right. That's right. November 19th.
And if you still have one of them Samsung phones, you might want to just throw it out your window.
Yeah, you may not. You don't want it in your pocket, that's for sure. You may get burned up. So, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But again, thank you, Jeffrey. LSU playing Florida November 19th. That will be in Baton Rouge at Tigers Death Valley. I'm sorry. Okay, again, November 19th. Hey, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes before we go to a break.
Yeah, somebody else wants to chime in. 256-737-9505.
Yeah, we've got a couple more minutes, and give us a call. Talk about really whatever you want to talk about. But I want to give a couple of shout-outs, Jay, here before we do have to go to a break. We have Dan Vosta joining us at 4:30. He is with Campus Insider in Chicago, Illinois. As Jason says, he is the book of knowledge when it comes to sport. I'm sorry. Our first guy that joins us will be Chris Andrews. I'm sorry. From Las Vegas, Nevada.
They're both books of knowledge.
That's right. They're both books of knowledge, just in separate, different books, but they both have tremendous knowledge. So, again, sorry, Chris Andrews will be joining us at 4:30. Then at 5 o'clock, Mr. Dan Vosta from Campus Insider will be joining us. And then hopefully around 5:30, our local fishing guide, local fishing expert pro, Mr. Rex Chambers, will be joining us. And then at the end of the show, maybe a few more minutes, you can give us a call. Talk about any games you may want to talk about that are upcoming. And then I'm going to get Jay to take Jason's spot, and we're going to make some picks at around 5:45. So stay with us. Sports Talk Live. It is 4:22 on a beautiful Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, I might have to go do some Googling if you're going to put me on the spot.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer refer to the service or bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo! It's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
I still think this is to give everybody seizures, Ronnie.
Ah, I love it.
That's what it's all about.
I like that right there. All right. Welcome back, Sports Talk Live. It's 427, and we have our good buddy, Mr. Chris Andrews from Las Vegas, Nevada, with us. Chris, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Ronnie.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We're kind of solo today. Jason's in North Carolina helping his son who bought a house, so he is helping him move. So, as Jay said earlier, he's probably got a couch lifted about right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to play the part of Jason, but I'm not very good at it. So,
how are you, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good.
Fantastic.
Ready for an exciting weekend.
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, I got to ask you this. Now, most people know, next Wednesday night, the final and third debate is going to be in Vegas.
I warned you, man. 2 minutes of politics.
Okay. Is there a different vibe or a different feel in Vegas right now?
Well, there will be. I can tell you that already.
I think they're moving the debate to Trump Tower, aren't they?
No. They're already telling us what roads are going to be closed that night, and you try to find different access points.
Yeah.
And the Rolling Stones are in town that night, too.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a pretty crazy night here in Las Vegas.
Are they going to put them on the front row?
I might go to the Stones. I'm definitely not going to the debate.
Okay, I was going to ask you, which one are you going to pick, the Stones or the debate?
Well, it's not even close. If I can get tickets, I'm going to the Stones.
I'm
working on it.
Or go to the debate Stoned. How about that?
I'd never say that on the air. I can tell you.
I understand that, Chris. Hey, we had a buddy of ours that calls in each and every week. Called just a few minutes ago. I did not know it, but said that they have got a play date for the LSU-Florida game. Have you heard that news?
That just came across, like, in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They have moved it to LSU.
Right.
And I don't know why that happened.
Okay. I was going to ask you that. Because we were talking about the same thing. Why would they move it when both of them had home games and they canceled, they canceled those two non-conference games? I don't understand.
I have no idea, but I'm looking at November 19th in Baton Rouge, and then Florida gets two home games in a row from LSU. But I'm going to have to read it. This is all just coming across,
like I said,
in about the last 10 minutes or so.
Right.
But I saw on Twitter, the Florida AD is pretty ticked off about it. And I'm thinking, well, you know, weren't you guys in negotiations? Something
yeah.
should have happened there. So I don't know the answer at this point in time.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I just again, we were talking a little bit earlier. It would make to me, and again, I don't know the details, but it would make perfect sense. Okay, you're going to cancel these two non-conference games. Both of you were going to play at home. It should have been a Florida home game anyway. So why LSU doesn't go to Florida and play? I don't have a clue. I'm sure they have an explanation. I just don't know what it would be.
Yeah, the devil's in the details, and I guess we'll just have to find out what they are.
Absolutely right. Hey, Chris, what did you know, the games this past week? What did you like about, you know, we'll just take the Alabama game. What were your thoughts on it first?
Well, I wasn't real happy with that late touchdown out of Alabama. Well, they win by 19, I think.
They did, that's right.
We were sitting on a cover.
Yeah.
And then they what was that, about a 100-yard return, I guess, from what I understand. I didn't see it.
Yes.
But, you know, they covered with that. You know, the Tennessee game I thought was fantastic. They looked dead and buried once again. They had 7 turnovers.
Yeah.
And wound up, they didn't cover. Well, you probably got a push, I guess, if you took 7.
Right.
But it really was a great game. And, I guess there was a whole bunch of them last week. You know,
yeah.
My mind kind of escapes me after four or 5 days.
So, right,
you know,
right.
I'm looking forward to this week.
Right. You know, talking about about the Tennessee, Texas A&M game, I agree with you. It was a great football game. Tennessee turned it over 7 times and was still, well, I guess 6 times in regulation. Threw an interception in overtime, made 7. But to be able to turn the ball over that many times and still get in to an overtime situation on the road, I think that speaks volumes for the Tennessee football team.
Well, I do too. And, you know, for the last couple of years, I know on your show, and I do another one out of Tennessee, I talked about Butch Jones, and I was not crazy about the job that he was doing. I thought that, you know, he's playing not to lose a lot.
Right.
And, you know, he had a lot of really good recruits, and I didn't think he was, you know, he just was playing too conservatively considering the kind of talent that he had. But this year, I think he's grown as a coach. And, not that I'm a Tennessee fan, but I always root for people to, you know, improve themselves. And, I think he's done that because you really look at that team, they've been on the ropes almost every game.
That's right.
Virginia Tech had them way down, and you know they fought. They didn't just fight back. They won easily. You know, and you know, just go through their schedule. Yeah, Florida, and of course last week against Texas A&M. So I think Bama has their hands full this week, and I know they're a pretty strong favorite. 12. We're running 12.5. I see some 13s out there too, but I think that's a take. I think if I was out there betting instead of booking, I would be on Tennessee this week, plus the points. I think, you know, they keep it close, and I think they're the kind of team that now, if you get them down, they're not going to go run and hide. I think that they're going to they have enough confidence in themselves to battle back, and I believe they would do that. And I think Bama probably wins the game, but I do think Tennessee keeps it within the point spread.
Right, and you said you guys have the point spread at 12. Is that what you have?
We're 12.5.
12.5.
A lot of 13s around too, but we're 12.5, and getting pretty decent two-way action on it. So, you know, Wise Guys originally gave us a bet on Bama, but some other sharp guys came in back in the other way. So, right now, pretty good two-way action.
I got you, Chris. Let me ask you this question. I know there are tremendous details into setting what you're, and I don't know the terminology like Jason does, so you'll have to, you know. Just accept my ignorance, but when you come up with your line or what your point spread is going to be, for someone who may know nothing, how do you determine that in very simple terms of, you know, Alabama's a 12.5 or a 13-point favorite? I mean, I know you don't just go in there and draw a number out of a hat and here it is.
Boy, it'd be nice if we could, wouldn't it?
You're right. Hey, but Chris, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the thing that, and I talk to Jason all the time, we text back and forth during ball games, the thing that impresses me the most is you guys, the vast majority of time, you are spot on. I mean, just spot on with the points. I mean, I don't know how you do that week in and week out. It's amazing to me.
Well,
I think it would be real interesting to substitute you guys for the coaches and see. Because, I mean, you already know everything's going to happen. So Auburn might get a boost. Did I say that?
I wish we did know a little better. But I can tell you my approach, and I think most guys are pretty similar. I have a methodology, and everybody's a little bit different. But I try to be as objective as possible. I have like a certain amount of numbers that I keep, and what it does is give you a power rating on a team. So let's say the way mine works, like if you're at 100, you're probably the best team in the country. Right now, I have Bama at 101, and I have Ohio State at 100. So right now, those two are the two best teams in the country to me. Anyway, like let's say you have a team that's at 100, and they're playing a team that's a 90. Well, they'd be a 10-point favorite over that team.
Okay.
So I mean that's real simplistic term.
Right.
I mean, of course, you know, you get, you know, Bama and Ohio State. We know pretty much year in and year out, you know, about what they're going to be. But then you get down to a team like, you know, Central Michigan or Texas San Antonio, Georgia State. Now you're talking about some real ambiguity.
Right.
And that's where the real homework kind of comes in. Because Bama, listen, let's take Ohio State, for example. You know, they lost six players to the first round of the NFL last year. Yet you knew they were still going to be pretty good. Texas San Antonio, I'd have to go look. I'd like to bet they didn't even get one player drafted. You know, so you have to look and see, you know, who's coming back. I try to keep track of the recruiting, like the overall recruiting rankings. And they don't really change that much from year to year. You know Bama, LSU, Ohio State, Tennessee, they're going to be pretty good. You get a new coach sometimes, either, you know, a real good recruiter, a real bad recruiter, and that might change a little bit. But, you know, generally you have a kind of an idea of what level the program's on. And like I said, when you get a new coach, say like P.J. Fleck, I don't know if you guys even know or are aware of him down there, but he's the Western Michigan coach.
Okay.
Western Michigan is now the best team in the MAC, and mostly you can go back to the recruiting rankings and see P.J. Fleck's getting all these great guys out of the Midwest. How do they do it? I have no idea, but obviously he's a pretty good salesman. He's young, good-looking guy, and, I don't know, he's probably a pretty good speaker, I would think.
Right.
So, that's how I try to watch those kind of things and look for trends on how it's going to go. And, when you do your figures from one year to the next, you just try to follow that and just make the best evaluation that you can.
I got you. Hey, Chris, and I want everybody to understand, most of the time when Jason and I and Chris are talking, we don't have questions, you know, a lot of the times that we email back and forth to one another. So in today, certainly one of those times, there are no questions. So anything I'm asking Chris, he doesn't have a clue that it's coming. He doesn't know what's coming, but I want y'all, that just indication of how impressive this guy is, in how he can share some knowledge with us. With that said, Chris, you know, people here, you know, Alabama fans, you know, we certainly are very, very interested in the college football playoff scene and the teams that may be making that. So I've got to ask you about the University of Washington, which I know absolutely nothing about, other than they have trounced Oregon and Stanford the last 2 weeks. So do you have something you can share with us about the University of Washington?
Well, you know, the first thing is the coaching. And they have Chris Peterson, who got his fame, got his fame from coaching Boise State.
Right.
And there's a couple guys before him that sort of put Boise on the map. And the one guy went to Arizona State. Then Dirk Cutter, might have been Cutter that went to Arizona State first. Anyway, now he's the head coach at Tampa Bay. And a lot of those guys didn't do all that well when they moved away from Boise. He really kept the tradition up and made Boise really what they are today. And, of course, he had that big win over Oklahoma that really put them on the map. Well, since he got to Washington, this is his third year now, I kind of thought that he would have some success. So if you remember, in the beginning of the year, I put those five teams against the rest of the country to win a national championship.
That's right, I remember.
And I had Alabama, Michigan, and I used Michigan instead of Ohio State because Ohio State had that game against Oklahoma. I wanted to keep, and I still have the bet up.
Right.
You can still bet it. And I have Clemson, I had Oklahoma. You know, they're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And the fifth team I had was Washington. A lot of people said, Washington, are you crazy? Why did you pick Washington? Should have had Stanford or Oregon or maybe,
right,
you know, two teams out of the SEC or throw in Notre Dame or something like that. Nah, you know, I wanted to get the top five power conferences. And in my humble opinion, Washington had the best chance. And a lot of guys thought I was nuts. So I'm going to pat my myself on the back a little bit. But I'm looking at their schedule right now. So they are 6-0. 1, 2, 3, 4, yep. 6-0, yeah. So they got Oregon State next week. And that should be
no
problem.
That should be a W, yeah.
Yeah, they play at Utah, which is one of those weird stadiums, you know, and you know, you think of Utah, a real conservative state, a lot of Mormons and that sort of thing. That is a rabid fan base, and that is a tough place to play. So that's a tough place. Then they play at Cal. Yeah, they're probably not so tough. Then they play home to USC. You never know what USC team's going to show up. Arizona State, they should handle them. Then they go at Washington State. Now, that's really one of the surprise teams of the year, and I thought they might be pretty good, but they've been much better than I thought. And they're even, you know, 7-point favorites over UCLA this week. So I think there's two real trouble spots on their schedule, at Utah and at Washington State.
Okay.
Other than that, I think they have a pretty good chance of going undefeated. If you go undefeated out of the Pac-12, and I know it doesn't get the national exposure that certainly the SEC gets.
Right.
But I think if you go undefeated out of that conference, because really there's a lot of really good teams in that conference. And I'm not saying Washington's great. I don't think they are, but I think they're pretty good. But you know, when you look at, like, okay, they beat Stanford. Well, they really beat Stanford bad and beat Oregon even worse.
Yeah.
So Arizona, they went to overtime, but Arizona's kind of up and down. But if you look at their rest of the schedule, like I said, if they could beat Utah, beat Southern Cal, beat Arizona State, beat Washington State, well, then you got to say, you know what, they deserve to be in the Final Four. I'm not sure who else is going to be there, but I would certainly pick them over any team out of the Big 12, I could tell you that.
Right.
And I think they have a real good chance of making it. And the thing that I would tell guys out there, if you're any kind of a better, and I imagine there's a few guys out there that would do it for entertainment purposes only.
Of course.
But that's, watch Washington the second half. One thing I've always been really impressed with Chris Peterson, he makes better defensive adjustments at halftime than probably any coach that I've ever seen in my life. You know, so there's games where maybe they're doing something effectively against them the first half. You come out the second half, and I guarantee you're not going to be able to do that again. So if he's playing anybody, whether it's Alabama, Ohio State, or whoever else happens to be in that Final Four, watch him the second half. He's a really brilliant defensive mind. He gets a little bit of a reputation as an offensive coach, but as a defensive coach, he's really brilliant, and the adjustments he makes will really throw a team out of kilter the second half. So keep an eye on that. But they're very well coached. They're still a little young. I don't think they could win it all this year. I don't think. But they got a shot. They definitely have a shot.
Right. My next question there, Chris, kind of piggybacking off of that, can Washington get into the 14 playoff with a loss?
You know, of course, there's a million moving pieces if
that's
that
right.
happens.
You're exactly right.
I would tend to say no. I would tend to say no. I mean, I mean, to me, you got some really good teams out of the ACC. Florida State, I guess, is not in it anymore. But you got Clemson and Louisville.
Right.
And even though Clemson won that game, I mean, it could have gone either way. I don't know anybody that's really knocked Louisville since that. You know what I mean? It wasn't a bad loss. Remember, it was a great loss.
Right.
And I don't think that I would probably say, a one-loss Louisville team would come in over Washington.
Okay.
Of course, the SEC, are they going to get two teams? I don't know. You know, maybe. I mean, well, let's say if Ohio State and Michigan go into their game undefeated and it's, you know, Ohio State wins at home, which they should win at home. But let's say it's, you know, 48-46 in a barn burner. You know, probably a one-loss Michigan team, you know, the loss like that would probably have more credentials than a one-loss Washington team. But, of course, we're really speculating way, way ahead. But
sure, absolutely.
That would be my hunch, that other guys would get it in front of them, I would think.
And I agree completely with you. If you've got a University of Washington that has one loss and Louisville ends with one loss, if you're going to just go by nothing other than the strength schedule, I don't know how you keep Louisville out. Even
I would say the same.
You know,
they've been terrific, and the one loss was, you know, again on the road at you know a real tough place to play a team that was, you know, runner up for the national championship last year. It's hard to downgrade them off of that one game. I know I didn't lower them in my power ratings at all.
Right. Hey, Chris, I have to tell you this. When we got here on Tuesday, first thing I said, I apologize to Jason and all Auburn fans. Because I made the statement that Auburn had no chance to beat Mississippi State. None. And, boy, did I not look like an idiot by that statement.
Well, Ronnie, I just got to tell you now, I think Alabama's overrated this year, and Auburn is just rocking my world. And that I can tell you. There's my Jason / Donald Trump
feel. There you go. So,
Jason, I've covered for you today, man.
So I don't know if you got to see much of the Auburn-Mississippi State game or anything about it, but Auburn looked fantastic, and Mississippi State looked like anything other than a football team out of the SEC West.
Well, I didn't say they had no chance, but I definitely said I'd like Mississippi State plus the points that day. And I wasn't quite as wrong as you were,
no,
Ronnie.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm going to pat myself on the back for that. But I still was plenty wrong.
Oh.
But, you know, that I didn't get a chance to watch. Yeah. That's the one bad thing about my job is I get to see bits and pieces of almost every game. But it's really hard to sit down and watch one game.
Right.
Except like the Thursday night game or something like that.
Oh, it was horrific. I mean, I told Jason, I said, it looked like a dominant high school team playing against a poor middle school team.
In fact, it was so horrific, we were making regular comparisons to the Florida-LSU game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really bad. Really embarrassing if you were a Mississippi State fan. So, hey, Chris, I want to ask you a couple. I'm put you on, not really on the spot. I want your opinion here. I've got a few coaches that may be on the hot seat. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest chance that they may, you know, not be retained after this season, and 1 being that there is no chance, you know, of them being fired. I'm going to throw a few names at you, and I want you to give me your opinion.
Okay.
All right, Charlie Strong, University of Texas.
That's a pretty hot seat, I got to tell you. I'd rate it about an 8.
About an 8, okay.
Listen, I don't like them. You know, this week they're 14-point favorites over an up-and-coming Iowa State team. I think they got a good chance of losing this week.
Wow.
And I think that would really hurt his chances. But I think there's a chance they could do that, and I think his seat is real hot, about an 8, I'd say.
Okay. This one's kind of a stretch, okay, but because of last week. Dan Mullen, Mississippi State.
I'd say about a 2,
okay.
Maybe a 3, something like that. You know, I mean, you have to remember what that program was when he came in.
I agree.
You know, it was not the. It really they haven't. They've been kind of up and down really since Jackie Sherrill left like 5 years ago. You know, so I think, you know, he's up against it in a, you know, the toughest division in the toughest conference in college football. And, you know, he's had some good teams, and, you know, I mean, a lot of that could be credited to Dak Prescott, and we're starting to see just exactly how good that kid was.
Right.
But I think that is a little bit of a stretch. I think he's probably okay.
Okay. And the name of the coach has completely left me, but it's University of Oregon.
Oh, man. If Charlie Strong's an 8, Mark Helfrich is his name.
That's it.
He got to be a 9.9. You know, he might not make it through the end of the year. So you got to remember, you know, Oregon, I mean, they got a ton of money. I mean, that's all Nike money
Nike,
up there.
Yeah.
And Phil Knight, a multi-billionaire who's from Oregon, loves the Oregon program.
Right.
You know, not just football, loves the basketball program too. I mean, he could swallow that whatever they owe him. You know, like you putting a quarter in a bubble gum machine. I mean, it'd be nothing. Nothing. So I think he's in big, big trouble.
Big trouble. Okay. And your favorite, Chad Helton at USC.
Well, you know, believe it or not, USC doesn't throw around the coin all that much. You know what I mean? You would think down there. Now, they got the money. They just don't throw it around real easy. You know, I don't know. I know if I was there, he might not be a 9.9, but he'd be a 9-something. I can tell you that. But I don't know. Yeah. You know, he's just first year in, but you know, Lynn Swan is the new athletic director there, and Swan did not
hire him. Right.
And I've heard from some people, you know, because there's a lot of USC folks in Las Vegas.
Right.
And I've heard, like, Swan kind of lets everybody know, like, when there are dinners or lunches or whatever, that he didn't hire help. You know, and that's not a real good sign.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how the purse strings are tied at USC.
I got you.
I have a feeling Swan's going to have to give him one more year before they buy him out, you know, if indeed they do buy him out. So I'd rate him about a 5.
Okay.
I kind of have a feeling he'll survive, but, you know, there's still a lot of football left. And if they fall flat on their face which they might, you know, because that's where I see, like, when the chips are down, they just fall apart. So if that happens, I could see him being shown the door, regardless of how much money it costs.
I got you. Okay, I got one more. The next one has not been on my list all year. I hadn't heard his name, and it's probably not on the list now. Brian Kelly at Notre Dame.
Yeah, you know, I think he is in a little bit of trouble. I'd probably give him about a 7,
okay.
I'd say. I think he is in trouble. You know, he goes out there and he kind of throws the blame around pretty good. And I think at some point, you know, Notre Dame, you know, they're still, like, pretty arrogant over there.
Oh, yes.
And I deal with them occasionally, some of these guys. You know, just being in Las Vegas, we deal with almost everybody. But they still think that they're kind of entitled to getting, you know, every good player in the country.
Right.
You know, they, you know, and I always tell them, you know, you guys aren't in a conference.
Yes.
You know, you're in a kind of a bad weather situation.
Right.
I mean, kids today, you know, I know, like, my kids, you know, my oldest son is 32. I mean, to him, Notre Dame, that's like ancient history, you know, talking about the glory days.
Even
Lou Holtz and stuff. You
yeah.
know? And, you know, like a kid, my kid's in his 30s. I mean, a kid 17, 18 coming out of high school.
Right.
I mean, he's heard about Notre Dame, and that sounds great. But he's heard a lot about Alabama and LSU and Ohio State and Michigan. And probably Michigan State has got a better history in the last decade or so than Notre Dame has. You know, but that, all that being said, they still think that they're entitled to that, and I don't think they want to hear the coach, you know, blame the players. I think they would say, well, you know, why aren't you recruiting better players?
Yeah,
and at some point, I even kind of agree with them there. But I think Kelly's a pretty good coach, but knowing the Notre Dame people man, you talk about a program with a lot of money. They got a lot of money.
Right.
And, you know, I think they could probably swallow swallow half the national debt, I think, if they really wanted to. So I think, you know, he could be in trouble because I don't think money's a huge object over there.
I got you. Hey, a couple more things, and then we're going to let you get out of here, Chris. But on the college football scene, are there a couple of games out there that, you know, it's kind of got your attention for this weekend?
Well, yeah, you know, I gave Tennessee, I think, is going to be, I like the underdog there. I think that's a pretty good take right there. I'm going to stick with the SEC and give you another one.
Okay.
I like Arkansas again, getting points, getting 7.5 against Mississippi. Now, I know Arkansas has been, you know, pretty up and down, down a little bit against some of the better teams in the country. But I think that this number just creeped up a little bit too high. I really thought this number should be about 3.5, maybe 4.5,
right,
something like that. But now you're looking at 7.5. I think that's just a little bit too high. So I think I would stick with the underdog in that one and go ahead and take the points there. Now, I mentioned it earlier, I like Iowa State. I think Iowa State has a great chance of beating Texas outright and definitely covering the points. I would like them in that game. I think that's one to grab. And I'll give you a bunch of underdogs. Here's a favorite I like, Nebraska. I think Nebraska is a lot better than people think. You know, they've been a little bit off the radar, really, for probably, again, the last decade.
Yeah, aren't they sitting there about 10th right now, right?
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, all the money this week's on Indiana, who played a really good game against Ohio State last week. But if you look back historically, Indiana's, for some reason, I don't know why these things happen, but Indiana has given Ohio State a lot of trouble ever since Urban Meyer's gotten there.
Right.
And, you know, they're right next to each other, you know, as far as, like, the borders go. So maybe that's a huge game for Indiana. I think they might let down a little bit, and I think they maybe shot their wad a little bit, too, against Ohio State.
Right.
And I think Nebraska, probably a team that people don't realize just how good they are. They lost a lot of really close games last year. And I think you know, they're undefeated so far this year, and I gave them out early in the season. If you're looking for a huge sleeper to win a national championship, I thought it would be Nebraska.
Right.
Just thought that, you know, coming out of a conference that, you know, pretty strong at the top, but otherwise there's a lot of real mediocrity, to put it nicely, in the Big Ten. And, you know, if they win a couple games, of course, like I said, it's a huge long shot. I understand that.
But they're still in the hunt.
They're a very good team. Yeah, they're still in the hunt. They're a very, very good team. So I like Nebraska this week against Indiana. I think they come back. And I think Indiana lets down, and Nebraska shows people just how good they are.
Fantastic. Hey, I got one more question, Chris. I promise I'll let you go. I won't even ask you about picks or anything with the NFL. But my question on the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings are sitting there at 5-0, the only team that has not lost a game in the NFL regular season so far. Question, are they the best team in the NFL?
Well, my short answer is no. You know, I still think you look at the Steelers and Patriots, I think are both better than Minnesota. I think Atlanta is also very, very good. But they're still a little bit untested, where Minnesota's been tested, pretty strongly. I told you I try to keep some records, and I have, you know, systems similar for colleges and the pros, and I try to go over it and see. And you know, Minnesota's, according to my extremely objective numbers, they're the third best team in the NFL.
Okay.
You know, so right behind New England and Pittsburgh.
Gotcha.
And you know, listen, if you'd have told me that after they lose Bridgewater, who I really liked, and they lose Peterson, which, how can you not like him?
Absolutely.
You know, I would say, man, you're out of your mind if you think that's going to happen. But, you know, that Zimmer, you know, a lot of guys, he had a great reputation as a defensive coordinator all those years, and, you know, he got his chance to be a head coach, and, you know, sometimes that just comes along a little bit later in life for, you know, God knows what reason, but he got his chance, and, you know, he's proven to be one heck of a coach. I mean, I don't want to put him up with Belichick yet or anything like that.
Right.
Still a little bit of a ways to go. But so far, so good. I know if I was a Minnesota fan, I'd be extremely happy to have him as our head coach, because I think he's done a terrific job.
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, man, I really appreciate it. I may have kept you over a little bit. We got you on just a few minutes early, but I want you to know how much Jason and I appreciate you being on with us each and every week here on Sports Talk Live. It's a great segment. We love hearing from you each week.
And you can't have your two
Ronnie,
minutes back either.
That's right.
Honestly, you know, it's my pleasure, fellas. I tell you, I enjoy this half hour as much as any of any I spend the week on.
I hear you.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Great. Hey, and enjoy the Stones. How about that?
I'm going to try. So far, I got tickets. It's like $800, and we're like in, like, row. I mean, I couldn't even tell you what it's like.
Hey.
I told my wife, I am not paying $800 to sit back there.
That's
so,
chicken feed for a man like you.
It's not the chicken feed, it's the seat. I don't mind. I don't mind paying. I just don't want to sit way back.
Oh, I hear you, Chris. All right, man. Hey, look forward to hearing from you next week.
All right, you guys got it. See you later, boys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks, Chris. Hey, it is 4:59. Jay's going to take us to a quick break. After the break, we will have Mr. Dan Vosta from Campus Insider on with us. So stay with us on Sports Talk Live 95.5 coming.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center.
Choose the apple over the cookie. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional we offer so many. Water aerobics classes, blood drives, CPR certification, tobacco treatment programs, over 1,000 screenings. Most are all totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional, live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. An Athens couple facing kidnapping and assault charges for holding a man against his will for nearly 12 hours. Athens police say they got a call about a man running down Market Street in his underwear. At the hospital, the victim told them he was bound and threatened with deadly force at a home on Patton Street, but he was able to escape and run. Wendell Todd Fain and Molly Rosenbaum Hughes were questioned. Investigators still trying to figure out a motive behind the kidnapping. Shelby County Sheriff's Office, along with Birmingham Police and several fire departments, assisting federal agents today at an apartment complex off Highway 119 at Madison at Shoal Run. DEA agents searched a unit there, some wearing hazmat suits. No details yet on what they found. No arrests made. It's one of the biggest events of the year in coastal Alabama. Annual National Shrimp Festival held in Gulf Shores. It attracts some 250,000 people and has more than 300 vendors. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. On the heels of accusations against Donald Trump that he made lewd comments about women, Governor Bentley was asked about his comments against Donald Trump and the fact that he was caught on tape making inappropriate comments to his former top advisor, Rebecca Mason.
I don't have a pattern of being derogatory and degrading women. I don't have a pattern ever of degrading those who are disabled, those who have cerebral palsy, those who are not of the same color that I am. I don't have that attitude, and I don't think the leader of this country ought to have that attitude.
The governor says he'll write in his choice for president, probably John Kasich, the man he supported during the primaries. At Gaston School in Etowah County, an exercise today for active shooter situations. Sheriff's Office says no one should be alarmed. It's only a drill. And thousands of West Alabama students at Shelton State today taking part in Worlds of Work. Employers, business leaders, and educational institutions taking part in helping them decide their options for the future. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Geico applauds your inner road name.
A slow clap goes out to your biker alter ego. You might be mild-mannered Michael in the office, the guy known for raising his hand in meetings, but out on the open road, it's Motor Mike. Geico supports you and your bike, Motor Mike, because beyond cars, Geico insures motorcycles, those glorious vroom vroom machines. With 24/7 customer service and great rates, the only thing you'll be raising from now on is a heck of a good time. Woo! So head out on the highway and make that road yours, Mike. Make it yours.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
In sports, Tuskegee University's Golden Tigers have their highest ranking ever in their division. The undefeated team ranked fifth after beating Morehouse College last week. Coach Nick Saban says right guard Alphonse Taylor is questionable for the game against Tennessee Saturday. Still no decision on linebacker Reuben Foster. Alabama 13-point favorite over the 11th ranked Volunteers. In the last six games, Alabama leads the SEC in scoring, almost 49 points per game. The Tide leads the nation with 9 non-offensive touchdowns this season. Coach Nick Saban.
Pretty slippery pole from the penthouse to the outhouse when you're in this business. So you don't take satisfaction. You don't take satisfaction. That's what causes lapse in games. You take satisfaction when the score is 42-17, and then you go out there and get kicked in the next series.
With a statewide ban against burning due to drought, Talladega Super Speedway reacts. Fans will not be allowed to light campfires, bonfires, pit fires, or use fireworks or open flames during race weekend. Smoking and grilling will be allowed, but use caution. Angie Norvell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Live. It is 5:04, and we've got our good buddy, Mr. Dan Vosta from Campus Insider, joining us again this week. Dan, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Happy Thursday to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Jason is not here today. He is in North Carolina. His son has bought a home, so...
But I'm Jay, and I'm trying to play a part of Jason today. So, War Eagle! Woohoo!
So we're just kind of... We're flying this ship without Jason today, so... That's the name of that team. Dan, how have you been doing this week, bud?
I've been doing great. You know, pretty solid weather here, and it'll be even better over the weekend, and more so next week, could be up to 70s. But fall is pretty much quickly approaching, and games are even getting more entertaining, so I'm a big fan of that, as we know.
Hey, I got you. Hey, and this is going to be off the cuff right off the start. The Cubs, have they put the Giants out of the playoffs yet?
Yep.
They had, okay.
Yeah, they just clinched two nights ago. So they clinched on Tuesday night, and now they play the winner of the Dodgers and Nationals, who played tonight. And the winner of that game goes to Wrigley for Saturday and Sunday for the first two games. So it should be a very entertaining NLCS. And even as a White Sox fan, pulling for the city of Chicago and playing my friends, I hope to have some happiness in their lives for their sports teams. So maybe the Cubs will can do it this year, if not, bright future nonetheless.
Absolutely. Did they not, then they won that series 3-1. Is that correct?
What's that?
Did they win? Didn't they win the series 3-1?
Correct.
Okay.
They won 4-1. You got it.
I got you. Okay. Hey, let's move on to some football now. Hey, put a bow on last weekend's performances, Dan. Tell me which team was your biggest surprise?
Yeah, I think it was ACC Coastal. Big-time matchup, we thought. But Virginia Tech took North Carolina to the woodshed. In Chapel Hill on the road. It wasn't, you know, inclement weather. It wasn't the best of weather choice for North Carolina's, you know, offense. It's been a little pass happy, but for the most part, their offense the last couple of years has been very, very impressive. Come off a big win against Florida State. You thought they'd be sky high, and sometimes that emotions get the best of you, and Virginia Tech just demolished them. Hokies, you know, move up to the top 20. Always a respectable defense, but the last couple of years in the Beamer era, their offense was kind of, you know, a little bit too vanilla and a little bit too everything or nothing, and more so nothing, struggle city. So the Hokies with Jerron Evans at quarterback, lots of skilled player talent. Isaiah Ford to stud, Bucky Hodges at tight end. This team's very capable, and they've entered the race now with obviously the Hokies with the Tar Heels and the Canes. Two of those teams match up this weekend, but biggest surprise, Vatech just put a beat down on North Carolina, and now looks like the ACC, you can make a case, certainly a top three conference, potentially could be one that's challenging, obviously, for two teams in the college football playoff.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more, Dan. Hey, let's just move and do a 180 there. Your biggest surprise with Virginia Tech, your biggest disappointment was who?
Yeah, there's a couple of them, but I'm going to cut it down to two between Michigan State and Stanford. I picked Michigan State. You could, last week I went with them again. I doubled down on Sparty losing two in a row, but I didn't think it was going to be a blowout. And, you know, BYU kind of took them behind the woodshed and had their way with them, a 31-14 victory. The fourth quarter was dominated by the Cougars. So that was a little disappointing. And while I thought Michigan State was at least a three-loss team this year, I didn't think they were going to lose three in a row just like that. And all of a sudden, Sparty looks like they could be having their first bowl game in mid, or you should say late December, pre-January, a pre-premier bowl game, which they're not really accustomed to. So still a good coaching staff, but the defense not quite as dominant as it's been, and the offense has clearly been abysmal, one of the worst offenses in the D'Antonio era. And then second and quickly, Stanford got absolutely crushed by Washington State. Pac-12 after dark, as they call it. Christian McCaffrey got dinged up. The passing offense looks like it misses Kevin Hogan, who's potentially going to back up Cody Kessler for the Cleveland Brownies. But right now, Stanford's offense is really bad right now. And their defense, respectable, but they picked a bad week to not show up. And they gave up nearly, it seems like 100 points to the Cougars or Washington State. So it was just a bad performance all around. I thought Stanford was one of my more overrated teams going in the country, going into the season, ranked in the top 10. Notre Dame seems to take the cake for that one at the moment. But Stanford, who plays Notre Dame this week, Stanford has a couple tough games on the schedule. So if they don't wake up quickly, it could be a 5 or 6-plus off season for David Shaw, not something most people had in mind.
Absolutely. Boy, they have. The last 2 weeks, they have just been hammered. you know, the Stanford, and I didn't see that at the beginning of the season. I didn't think they were a great team, maybe a good team, but I didn't see them just getting drilled the last 2 weeks like they have. But, you know, stranger things happen. Hey Dan, you gave us your surprise and you gave us your disappointment. Mm-hmm. Who was your stud for the week? You know, who had the best performance?
Yeah, a couple. I mean, I can always roll with the Bama defense, but I'm going to give an edge. And certainly Alabama deserves some credit. 8 consecutive games with a defensive touchdown. But I'll give the nod this week to Jake Browning. Some more love to the Washington Huskies. 8 touchdowns. I know you and me probably could have maybe hung half 15, half 100 on Oregon.
That's great.
Eight total touchdowns. I mean, we were running routes. See, we would have been running, streaking down the field wide open. And no Oregon defensively. They've always been struggling a little bit the last couple of years. But it was in 2014 where they buried Florida State, had a great year with Mariota, more so offensively, no, but they had some guys, some freaks up front that are playing for the 49ers now. DeForest Buckner was good, Eric Armstead. They've had some beef up front that's gotten the job done. But their secondary's always been questionable, and they're not getting the pass rush. So there really isn't any player in Oregon that's been performing well, and it's been one of the bigger disappointments in the season. So you know what? Give me Jake Browning for your stud of the week. The Huskies continue to cruise, and all of a sudden it looks like a landslide during the Pac-12. Now it's just a matter, can they win out? If they do, they're going to get in the college ball playoffs.
Fantastic. Okay, how does your top four look right now, and who's right there near the top?
Yeah, I'm going to go Bama number one still at the moment. I've nodded the edge to Clemson at 2, Ohio State at 3. That's pretty interchangeable at 2 and 3 there.
Right.
And then 4, 5, and 6 I think are all very close. I'm going to give the slightest of edges to Washington at 4, Michigan 5, but that's kind of interchanging as well. I think Washington the last 2 weeks has impressed me big time. Potentially they're going to get challenged when they go to Utah and Salt Lake City, and they got to play Cal, of course, but those teams may lose 5 games, so the schedule's not, you know, tough, but they've answered the bell for what we thought would be their toughest games. They buried Stanford, buried Oregon. So Michigan takes care of business. They'll move up. I got Michigan 5, and I think Texas A&M at number 6, still undefeated. You beat Tennessee in a thriller, and then obviously you have Alabama coming up. So A&M and Michigan could potentially move up. Michigan might have to wait a little bit before they get Ohio State the weekend after Thanksgiving. But that's my top four in those two teams, just on the outside looking in.
Okay, here's a two-part question. The first part is, who is your best one-loss team, and then who is your best team with 2 losses?
Sure. Yeah, I think the one-loss team, I would give an edge to Louisville over teams such as Wisconsin. And now if the Badgers win this week, obviously that could be changed a little bit. But I think Louisville's offense, you could argue, pretty much as good as anybody's in the country. Very opportunistic defense that had its way with Deshaun Watson at times with turning the ball over. But Louisville, you know, it would have been helpful for them if Houston would have kept winning, but tough loss to Navy. Potentially the throne of Louisville is a one-loss team to get in, if assuming Clemson wins out. But nonetheless, they're the top one-loss team and the top two-loss team for me at the moment. I would give an edge to Florida State over Ole Miss since the Noles beat the Rebels, and Florida State come off a nice win over Miami. I don't think they're back in terms of maybe being in the playoff race, but potentially we thought Florida State was dead, and if they somehow can win out, beat Clemson, a 10-2 team, ACC, if you have another team, get in. Potentially it could be, you know, right there, but they're going to need a lot of things to break their way. But nonetheless, they could still have a very respectable top 10 type of season for the Noles. So I'd give them an edge as a top 2-loss team.
Okay. Your biggest surprise, would it be Oregon and Stanford with their struggles or Michigan State?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm actually going to go with Michigan State. I would have never have thought this year. I would have bet some ribs, the summer ranch, a trip to Disney, that they would not have lost 3 in a row before Halloween. I mean, it hasn't happened in quite a while. And to the teams that they did it to, I mean, I know I've picked against them. Once they beat Notre Dame, I thought there was a chance they could struggle, but nowhere near to this level. Their offense has been, you know, suspect at best. It's made Auburn's offense look like one of the better ones in the country, and they have looked good. But, you know, disrespect to Michigan State, they've not played well. And when you don't play well, you're going to lose to the likes of an Indiana and a BYU team that are likely bowl teams, but not exactly murderer's row, and not teams that are going to win double-digit games. So a big-time struggle bus, Michigan State, looking like a mid-tier Big Ten team at best. And for the most part, they've been a top five or six program in the country. When you look at the last 4 to 5 years, it was just in 2013 when Florida State won it all, and Michigan State finished number two in the final polls, and they've been in New Year's Six Bowls since. So this is by far their worst season in quite a while. I thought Stanford would struggle a little bit. Oregon, I think, is a close second with Stanford because just the way they've been beaten down. But Michigan State, for me, takes the cake. Losing three in a row, just not something you expected. Wisconsin, respectable loss at home, though they got destroyed there as well. But then you lose to Indiana on the road and BYU at home. And they still kind of play Michigan and Ohio State, so I can't believe I'm saying this, but Michigan State better get a win quickly, or else they, as well as Notre Dame, all of a sudden, maybe not even bowling this postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Dan, the next thing I want to talk about is right after we came on the air, a little over an hour ago, had one of our callers came and told me about, I did not know it, that the LSU-Florida game has been moved to November the 17th. And my question, and I may have some additional questions, but to start with, what are the pros and the cons for both of these teams with this move?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I believe it was the 19th. It was originally the 17th, like you mentioned, that LSU was supposed to play.
19th, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 19th, no worries. It's definitely, I mean, you could argue there's a little more cons than pros. Certainly the pro is that we get this game, and now both these teams potentially could compete for an SEC championship. Pros, we get to watch this game late in the season. Things could be on the line. So as fans, we really enjoy this, and things could be at stake. The cons for these teams, they're rougher stretches, and most schedules are backloaded for more teams than not, but the schedule's backloaded for both teams. You look at LSU, you get to host Alabama after a bye week to start November, then you go to Arkansas, and then, of course, you get to host Florida, and then you go to College Station in A&M. So, and that's actually, I should say, it's still scheduled for Thanksgiving night at this moment. Maybe they'll push that back to that Saturday. But still, you got Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, and A&M for LSU. That's four grueling games. And then
right.
On the flip side, Florida doesn't really have it much easier. They still have Georgia right before Halloween, Arkansas, maybe South Carolina, and Presbyterian is not exactly a tough game. But then you have Presbyterian with LSU now, and the game after LSU, you go to Doak Campbell. So you throw in Florida State, LSU, Arkansas, Georgia, outside of that South Carolina home game, that's a pretty grueling stretch. So both these teams could potentially suffer a few losses from Halloween to pretty much November, and obviously they already have a few losses, Florida with one, LSU with two. So it's going to be tough for them to survive and advance to win the East and West. So not likely they're going to meet again in the SEC Championship, but I think these are both at least probably four lost teams are looking at, which would be probably respectable with the schedules, not that they have, but it does help LSU they get this home game. But nonetheless, the depth will be, challenged from both these teams, and it's going to be tough for them to even be ranked, to be honest with you, at least going into the postseason. It's going to be tough.
Okay. I've got a couple of questions, Dan. I want to ask you about this LSU-Florida situation. The first question is, they were both playing non-conference, Presbyterian, I believe, for LSU.
Yep.
No, it was for LSU.
For
Florida, I'm sorry. And LSU had South Alabama. My question is, do these two schools get a payday?
Yeah, those schools should be, unless I'm completely wrong. They've already stated that, kind of through this whole process, that they were going to, nothing problem with the SEC with money. They'll write a check for these FCS schools so they still get paid. And obviously, bigger and bigger, more important things for this game to be played. The integrity of the SEC was kind of at stake here. You can't have, this game not be played and have a potential team that doesn't, gets jobbed of an SEC championship game because they don't play a full eight games, which wouldn't be legal. So I would hate to see an LSU or Florida potentially go 6-1 and then get left out.
Right.
Another team like Tennessee or Alabama in those respective divisions, obviously, go 7-1 or something like that. So it's great that they finally got this worked out, and us fans are just excited for some more great football down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, my second question is, I don't understand, this game was originally supposed to be played at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it, once these games are canceled, why was that game moved to LSU?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, maybe it's fair that there's something more weather issues on the road, but I think, they worked this out where next year, LSU will go to Gainesville. So why they did that now and not just keep it, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
But they have negotiated where, Florida will host LSU next year, so at least there's that why they did that trade.
Yeah.
That's something maybe details will be coming out this weekend or maybe sometime tonight. But that is a good question why LSU gets an advantage here hosting Florida. It's nice that they, I guess, have a home game between the road games. LSU's got Arkansas and A&M. So, it is tough for Florida not having to go to Death Valley, one of the toughest places to play. Yeah. But at least they get to host them next year.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll move on off of LSU and Florida. Just happy to know that they are going to be playing that November 19th. Mm-hmm. November 19th. Okay, Ohio State, they're a double-digit favorite at Wisconsin. Double digits. Do they cover that spread? Mm-hmm.
That's very close. I mean, it's been a house of horror, really, horrors for Ohio State. The Badgers have owned them, and it's amazing to still see Ohio State right now just on the cusp of, nearly 11-point favorites, depending on who you're talking to. And, I love the Badgers' defense, and it's proven to be one of the best in the country, I think, this season, but their offense is still very questionable. They were held under 100 yards rushing and passing each. Against Michigan, and that was a game they stayed in the ball game for that entire regulation in four quarters. But I think Ohio State with JT Barrett, this is a spotlight game for Urban Meyer and Barrett, more importantly for the Heisman and for the Buckeyes. We're less than a month away from the committee making their selections for their top 25 for college football playoff. And Ohio State, I think, will come through, but it's going to be a grueling game. Do they cover? I think so, but I think it's going to be more likely a late touchdown. I think this is a 17-13 ball game, and I think Ohio State will get a nice punch-in touchdown in the last 4 or 5 minutes, really make those Buckeye fans that are getting taken in the desert, really make those fans sweat one out, because I think this game will be a defensive battle. Roll your sleeves up, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and I think JT Barrett will get the last laugh of a very athletic Buckeye defense of their own. So points will not be flowing. They'll be at a minimum. I like Ohio State's chances.
All right. Takes us on to our next game. Ole Miss and Arkansas. Who you got, and is the loser done as far as the SEC West?
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance the winner, obviously, could be done as well. But obviously, the loser of this game is going to be in big-time jeopardy. Arkansas, of course, as well as Ole Miss, I've already lost, obviously, to Alabama. So they're going to need Tennessee to knock off Bama, and then potentially Bama lose at least one, maybe two more, because, as we know, the SEC West is a gauntlet. So, yeah, certainly the loser, I think, is going to be done. So, but give me the Rebels. Interesting, they're favored by just over a touchdown. I think Arkansas is going to keep it close. Certainly, they're licking their wounds a little bit after the loss to Alabama. But Austin Allen and his receivers in the perimeter play for the Razorbacks, which is not a custom for, Brett Bielema, but this team's very talented offensively, and I think they're going to put some yards and some points on the Rebels. It'll be a back-and-forth affair. I just like the Rebels to survive. We'll see how weather permits, but I like the Rebels to survive. I think Ole Miss wins this one 35-32. There should be some points being scored here, but I like Ole Miss to sneak one out.
Fantastic. Hey, before we get to the Tennessee Vols and Alabama, I want to ask you a question. Dan, I want you to rate these for me, okay? Now, here's the question. I'm going to give you five coaches. On a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, what's the number that these coaches will not be at their present school next year, okay? Does that make sense to you?
You got it.
Okay, all right. Again, the scale is 1 to 10. The first coach, Charlie Strong.
I'm gonna go with an 8, as in give me a 9. I'll go with 9, meaning he's likely not gonna be there.
That's correct. Correct. Yeah. Okay. 9 for Charlie Strong. That he's gonna be 9 out of 10. He's gonna be gone from Texas. All right. This one is kind of way out in left field, but just because they performed so poorly last week against Auburn, Dan Mullen.
Wow. I'm gonna go with a 5. I think that might even be a little high. He's really never finished in the bottom barrel of the SEC West, and life after Dak is not looking too good. And I thought on paper they were clearly the worst team in the SEC West on talent, and they've probably been there for a few years. But he's got some room. He's got at least a year after this to potentially next year maybe disaster. That's why I think he's in the hot seat. But I go with a 5. They potentially could make a bowl game still, but you can make a case they might not win a game, many games left on the schedule, I should say. So I'll go with a 5 because he's been very successful up to this season, you can argue.
Okay, the next coach's name, I can't think of it. I couldn't think of it earlier. It's Oregon's head coach.
Yeah, Mark Helfrich.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to go with close to a 9. I'll go with an 8. Okay. You can make a case with Strong at Texas. He was probably gone from the get-go with some of their boosters not liking the hire. And when a bunch of boosters don't like you, they don't really need many reasons to not like you or hate you more, I guess. So I'm not, you know, sure Helfrich is as, you know, donezo as him, as Coach Strong is. But I'm going to go with an 8 because this has been a disastrous season. And there's some high-profile coaches, and maybe Oregon can get up there among the top 2 or 3 of them. We'll see. You know, it's still a very winnable conference for the future for them. Certainly Washington and Stanford and UCLA and USC, that's kind of been the class. And with their coaches and their talent stability, they've kind of, at least talent-wise, they've been, very respectable.
Right.
So Oregon kind of could be dropping, but I think Helfrich is certainly on his way out. It's just been a disastrous year. The defense has been so bad. So
right.
Give me a strong 8 and potentially going higher throughout the week here.
I got you. Okay, I got two more. Chad Helton, USC.
Yeah, Clay. You got
Clay,
it.
Clay, I'm sorry,
I'm going to go, no worries. I'm going to go, you know what, I'm a little bit below Helfrich, so give me like a 5. I think he's got to get at least another year in him. USC obviously already 3 losses, so not exactly what we expected, but their schedule was the toughest in America, so I thought 3 losses, at least at the end of the year, was the expectations for me. I thought a 10-3 year would be great. If they can even at least go 8-5, that'll put some pressure on them for next year. So I'll go a 5. I think next year's a big year.
Okay.
You got to win 9 or 10 games next year if you fall short of that this season. So I'll go a 5, but potentially moving up a little bit. But he's doing okay. Next year will be a big year for him, though.
Okay, last one, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to go with a 7, and I think certainly if they go 4-8, miss a bowl game, it's going to be moving up, certainly. But I still believe he's going to get one more year. But you know what? We'll have to wait and see how these games go. If they're, you know, as bad offensively as they were against NC State, I know that was in the monsoon of monsoons.
Right.
But if they struggle continuously offensively with maybe the next Cleveland Brown quarterback and Deshaun Kizer, there he could be in big, you know, trouble because the schedule's not easy. Still got USC, Miami, Va Tech. Navy's looking pretty good, and obviously Stanford this weekend, but I'll go that 6, give me a 7, potentially moving up. I think he likely will get at least one more year, and if they can't win 9 games next year, he'll probably get the axe because he's been a very successful coach. You know, he hasn't played in the biggest of games, did get to play Alabama in the title game, but that didn't go as planned. He's fallen short a little bit in the bigger games, and this has been a bad year for them, obviously. So I'll go with a 7. Likely comes back, but that's one of those things. They go 4-8, could be on the way out.
I hear you. Thanks for that, Dan. That was kind of off the cuff there. And
you got it.
So appreciate it. Hey, last one I have for you, and then we're going to let you go. The big game of the week, especially for us down here, if you're an Alabama fan, Vols or Bama, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, try not to disown me here, but I'm going to call for the upset with an asterisk next to it. The asterisk is I still love Alabama's chances, I think. You know, I've changed since Florida State's lost a few. I thought Alabama, I had them making the college football playoff as a 4 seed going into the year.
Right.
And I still think they're going to get in, and I think they're going to win the national championship. But I think a loss is going to come, and I think it actually is going to come this weekend, despite nobody giving Tennessee a chance. There's 2 touchdown underdogs.
Yeah.
To get Jalen Hurd back, Derek Kirkland's back. It's going to be a rowdy atmosphere. My only concern, obviously, Tennessee's been a little banged up. We'll see how emotionally strong they are. And if they start out slow this weekend, the 85 Bears would have a problem coming back against Alabama.
Right.
So I think Josh Dobbs will play the game of his life. Don't throw up, but I think we'll have a performance similar to what Bo Wallace did just, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think Alvin Kamara on the edge, that's the guy you have to limit. He's their biggest playmaker. He put on a clinic last week against A&M. If he makes those linebackers of Alabama look a little slow off the edge, because he's Reggie Bush-esque. Alvin Kamara, former Alabama player, obviously. Him and Jalen Hurd, if he can get some running room going, he's still their team-leading rusher. I think Tennessee wins in another thriller. Wouldn't be surprised. Give me the Vols 31-30 with an asterisk. I still like the Tide to eventually win the title. I just don't think they can win out. Not saying their talent's not good enough. The schedule is grueling for Alabama. I feel like every weekend Alabama is playing a Super Bowl matchup or so it seems, at least for their opposition. That's how you got to look at it. So getting the ball is an upset. I'll come back next week and say maybe I was wrong. But nonetheless, I still like Alabama's future. I just think Jalen Hurts, the quarterback for Alabama, we'll see how he, this is obviously not his first true road test as he was successful in Oxford, but if Alabama trails, that's a key. Can they come back very good receivers, one of the more balanced offenses in the country? But if you make Alabama throw the ball a lot, that's the recipe, and obviously you have a dual-threat quarterback in Dobbs. So expect another thriller. I like Bama's future more than anybody in the country, but I'm going to lean with what I thought in their preseason upset of the year. I'll still lean with the Vols, but Alabama will not be in trouble here.
There you have it. Dan is sticking by his guns. He's taking the Vols over Bama, and, you know, he may be right. You know, Bama's beat him about 9 or 10 in a row. At some point in time, you're going to lose, you know. So
it can't happen, Ronnie. Alabama doesn't remember what it feels like to lose. It's been so long.
It has. They've won 18.
They don't remember how to lose.
That's right. They've won 18 in a row since they lost to Ole Miss last. But, hey, Dan, thanks for joining us. It's 5:30. We may have kept you over just a little bit, but we appreciate you joining us each and every week here on Sports Talk Live.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on, and have a great weekend.
You got it, Dan. See you, bud. All right, it is 5:30. We're going to go to a quick break. After that, we're going to have our fishing buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers, our local fishing expert. He doesn't like to be called a pro, but to us he is. So stay with us. Rex will help you put another fish in the boat. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 coming.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissors Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you signed up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it.
You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Music for our friend in Vegas.
That's it. It is 5:35 here in Coleman, and we got our good old fishing buddy with us, Mr. Rex Chambers. Rex, how are you, bud?
I am great. How y'all doing?
Fantastic. Let me ask, are you still in the boat?
No, I'm not.
You going bowling?
I'm headed that way.
I got you.
No, I was all set to give Dan great praise. Until the last 2 minutes.
We actually spoke about that during the break.
We now, did.
We had words.
I was so impressed with how he came up with coaches' names. And I was going to say, you know, I bet he could tell you the tight end coach for Texas Christian in 1987.
You're right.
But then came the tennis. I got news for him. As bad as I'm not an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
And as bad as I'm not a Tennessee fan,
yeah.
Tennessee ain't winning that ball.
I'm with you.
That no eyebrow quarterback cannot beat Alabama.
You heard it here first. Actually, everyone knows that.
Oh,
we all got common sense in this state. We know better.
Well, like I said, I was going to just high praise for that last.
Yeah.
I don't see it. Hey, I tell you, Alabama's got some weaknesses, though. But
they do.
I don't think Tennessee's good enough to score them.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, Tennessee, their biggest problem that they've had this year is they've turned the ball over.
You got to back up once more. You got to back up one more time real quick. And then he says Alabama's schedule is like a Super Bowl every week.
Yeah.
Does that include Western Kentucky and Kent State?
Well,
and Kentucky?
That's the first playoff game.
And Chattanooga?
I will admit now, some of their non-conference is it's down there. I'm with you now.
It's bad. Anyway, the fishing is horrible. Y'all have a nice day.
The fishing is horrible?
It's bad. It ain't got any better, I tell you.
What's the matter?
On you follow last week for the Alabama Bass Trail Championship.
Right.
One thing is that they did a tremendous job at running that tournament yet once again for the third championship I was at.
Right.
And you follow us like every lake up here is just off course.
Yeah.
You follow rivals. Gunnersville, as far as the way that it fished.
Okay.
Big weights, big largemouth.
Right.
And 2 day total of 18 pounds finished 25th place. A 2 day total of 18 pounds got money.
Good
in
grief.
25th place. It only took 33.10 to win a brand new Phoenix fast boat.
Wow. You would have never thought that, would you?
No, and I needed to say it wasn't me because I couldn't catch a fish in a bucket down there.
So, what was your guess going into what it'd take to win the tournament?
I actually said it'd take 33 pounds to win. That was after practice. After I practiced for a day,
yeah,
I said it'd take 33 to win. I thought it'd take a little bit more than 18 to get a check. I was thinking 20 and a half, maybe 21 pounds to get a check. But
right.
You know, I got down there for practice on Wednesday, and I boated, I think, three keepers all day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, well, figured out a little something on Friday. Got a great topwater bite going on one little spot. And I told my traveling partner, I said, listen, me and you both start right there and get us a quick limit. Well, the hurricane after you changed that for us.
Right.
25 mile an hour winds at daylight.
Right.
So that first day of the tournament, I got a bad, must have a bad cell on my trolling motor batteries, and I had dead batteries by about 9:45, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, good. Oh, my God.
So I went back up in the creeks and didn't do anything, so it just wasn't meant to be for me, but
yeah.
The ones that could stay out there and fight that 20, 25 mile an hour wind, they did really well.
Yeah.
And we had some locals that did good. Local guide, my partner in the south, actually, Brent Crow, he made a top 20, I think, and a couple more Coleman folks, but they cast a good check. But majority of the local guys kind of dominated down there.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Rick. You know, you talk about the weight. You know, it was down considerably what you thought it would be. Would the hurricane have had any, you know, effect on that? I mean, I know that,
it's just been bad fishing down there, just like it has been up here on Tennessee River and on Smith. We're so dry. We need some water moving. We need some new water coming in.
Okay.
And we need it to cool off. Water temps are better than they were 2 weeks ago.
Well,
but they're still not down to October standard.
Right. Well, I saw tomorrow it's supposed to be 86 degrees tomorrow.
And then next week's going to be warm. The best rain chance I've seen, actually supposed to have sun coming in like, I don't know, Friday night possibility. But next Friday, I think the 22nd, we got a North Alabama has a possibility to get a good drenching. So hopefully we do.
Next Friday.
Because, we really, really need some rain on the lakes.
First time I can remember looking at forecasts out like 20 days.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and I seen this like 3 days ago, and I'm like, well, who, you know?
Yeah.
October 22nd, we might get some rain.
and I'm excited about it.
I know it. Now, I did go yesterday. I had a little trip to Wilson, and they're actually moving a little water up there just because they have to.
Right.
And we had a pretty good day catching largemouth and smallmouth the first thing in the morning, but after the first hour, hour and a half, that dies off too. So then you got a result to going with some live bait and just catching trash fish.
Right. And so it's basically the same place everywhere. The bottom line, the fishing just isn't good.
The only place that I've seen or read about right now that people are catching fish is on Kentucky Lake. Kentucky Lake, for some reason, which is part of Tennessee River.
Yeah.
The bite's good there for some reason. I don't know why it's any different than it is anywhere else. But even the Saturday was the Spro tournament on Gunnersville, and that usually has some really big weights in October, and I think 16-pound one is.
Wow.
I mean, fishing's just tough, and it's just it's a weird October for us,
right?
Other than it has been the last several years.
Exactly. Hey, Rex, I've got to plug you right here. A couple or 3 weeks ago, it's when you guys had the tournament at Smith Lake, and I forgot what the name of the tournament was.
That was Smith Lake Park Bass Fest.
Okay, because you said, correct me if I'm wrong, the weigh-in would not be over 17 pounds. Do you remember telling me that?
You may not.
Okay. And I saw in the paper that the winning weight, correct me if I'm wrong, was 16.98. Am I correct with that?
You're absolutely correct.
Okay. I told my oldest son, I said, Rex said it would not be the winner would not have 17 pounds. And he asked, well, how much was it? And I said, 16.98. So I couldn't believe it either. So, man, you were spot on.
I spent more time on Smith Lake for that tournament than I probably have for the last several Bassmaster Opens or FLW Opens that I practiced for down there on Smith.
Yeah.
And I never got them figured out. It's just, like I said, Smith's just not right.
Yeah.
For when I say not right, it's just not what we're used to in October.
Right.
And people's inquired about trips and everything the last few weeks, because I think there's a big high school tournament this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I know there is. And took a gentleman and his son out today, and taking another gentleman and his son out to a different part of the lake tomorrow for that tournament. And I told him, I said, whoever gets lucky, I mean, you sit
right
down on a water fish and catch them, then you'll win. Because other than that, there's no pattern.
Right.
There's no rhyme nor reason on what these fish are doing. you might pull up on one point and catch a couple of topwater fish.
Yeah.
And you might fish 100 more and never get a bite.
Right.
You might take a crankbait and go 25 foot deep down one bank and catch two or three and then do it the rest of the day and not get a bite.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no pattern that you can stick to and say, I know I can go hit this dock in 18 foot of water with a green fucking shaky head
yeah.
and get bit all around the lake. It's just not happening.
Right. And you say that's the same everywhere. Gunnersville, Smith, you follow it, makes no difference.
Everywhere's that way. You're going to see people, and I talked to a guy today, we caught 80 fish on Smith Lake. No, you didn't. I mean, you might have went and caught 80 little 8-inchers.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And he told me we didn't catch, but like, I don't know, 7 or 8 overs. Well,
right.
If you caught 80 and you only caught 7 or 8 overs, guess what?
Yeah.
You didn't have a whole lot of weight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, hey, Rex, before we let you go, I know there's some tournaments coming up. Can you give us some information about those?
First week in November, the autism tournament out of Smith Lake Dam. That's the next big one coming up on Smith.
Okay.
Everybody needs to come out and fish that one. And if you don't want to fish it and would love to donate an entry fee or make a donation of anything toward that tournament, just get with me and I'll make it happen.
Exactly. And if somebody wants to get in contact with you, how to do it?
Find me on Facebook, Rex Chambers Fishing, or SmithLakeBass.com.
Well, there it is. Rex, hey, man, I know you're tied up and you're busy and you got to get on to greater things today. So we're going to let you go, let you get to what you are doing on Thursday afternoon. But thanks a bunch for joining us every Thursday. We greatly appreciate it, bud.
I got one more question for you, Rex.
Yeah.
How low is Smith going?
Well, the last I heard, they weren't going to do the boat ramp this time around, so I don't see it going much lower.
Yeah, there's all kinds of rumors swirling around on Facebook, though, so I thought I'd ask.
Well, I heard, you know, they were supposed to fix the ramp, and they were going to drop it another 5-6 feet of what it is now, and then I was told that it wasn't going to be done, and then I heard rumor that it might get done anyway, so, and the thing about it is, they aren't going to have to drop it very far to fix anything over what it is.
Yeah, what is it right now?
498 or 499?
I'm looking at Yeah, you're looking at, what, 11 feet?
Okay.
Something like that.
Is that anywhere?
We've been 20 foot down this time of year before.
Okay. It's not out of the norm.
What are you hearing, if anything, about the public boat launch over on 222? What is it, Ryan Creek? Little Birdie told me there were some people surveying there yesterday or day before. So.
Oh, no. In Trimble Creek? Good luck with that. I don't know who'd be ponying up the money for it. I've been thinking that's private land right there.
Hey, let me add one more question. You're talking about boat ramps. Hey, they're at the marina at Big Bridge. I've noticed that they have that blocked off and you can't put a boat in there.
That was the area I was talking about.
Oh, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about at Big Bridge. Okay. I thought you were talking about Trimble. Okay. No, the one at Big Bridge, you know, that went to court. I don't know what the final outcome was, but you know, the county commission and the owners of the marina there went to court over who owned it and who could run it. But,
oh, so that's why it was locked.
But as far as I know, it is a private launch only right now.
Wow. Okay. I noticed, you know, when we were down this summer that there was a gate across it, and, you know, and it was locked.
Yep. You got to have a key to get in it.
Well, I'll be darned. All right.
I think it's been kicked back and forth 2 or 3 or 4 times from what I've been reading.
Oh, yeah, it has.
Yeah,
and the thing about it is it don't get used a lot by fishermen, but it does get used a lot by the pleasure boaters.
Absolutely. So, well, hey, Rex, man, we're gonna let you go. We know you got to get on to other things, and thanks for being with us again this week.
Y'all have a great week.
You got it. Thanks, Rex. See you, bud.
Appreciate it.
All right, it is 4:05:48. We're going to go to a quick break, and then, folks, you need to pull off the side of the road, get in a parking lot, turn your hazard lights on, get your pencil and paper, because not only am I going to give you picks, but we're going to get the picks from Jay, so we know those are going to be quality. So stay with us, Sports Talk Live, 95.5, coming.
Air steers clear up and in from space, back out of kids.
The new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more,
We also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's Best Hot Wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center.
Choose the side salad over the fries. Park at the back of the lot on purpose. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional, we offer so many. Childbirth education classes, rehab programs, free screenings. Most of our wellness programs are totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional, live exceptional.
And I'm going to interrupt for just a second. If you want to play along with Ronnie and me on these picks, give us a call, 256-737-9505. We'll have those for you right after the news break from the Alabama Radio Network and Coleman Regional Medical.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. As expected, drought conditions in Alabama are significantly worse within the last week. The latest update today from the U.S. Drought Monitor shows some type of drought condition over the entire state. That's the first time since March 2011. Governor Bentley has issued an outdoor burn ban for 46 northernmost counties, while Alabama Forestry Commission has placed the entire state under a fire alert. The worst drought areas, exceptional drought in northeastern counties Jackson, DeKalb, Cherokee, Calhoun, and Cleburne. Extreme drought conditions exist in 13% of the state, up from 7% last week. Three men and two dogs rescued from a sinking boat near Dauphin Island yesterday morning, but the men and dogs rescued from the water all in stable condition. And a Bibb County mom says adrenaline helped her fight off an attacker and protect her infant son. Woman says she just laid her one-year-old down for a nap when a man forced his way into her home. She picked up a heavy metal tool, hit him in the face and chest until he ran away. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Pritchard police arrest a 16-year-old, charging him with second-degree assault for shooting a teen at Vigor High School. A spokesperson says the teen was shot in the abdomen and is expected to recover. The 16-year-old suspect turning himself into authorities. A man arrested for trying to rob a bank in Graysville. The man wearing a wig went through the drive-thru in August and sent the teller a note demanding cash but left with nothing. A few weeks later, Gary Speets of Pratt City came into the region's branch to do legal business. Employees recognized him, called the cops. Speets says they've got the wrong guy. Water levels are significantly down at Lake Purdy in Shelby County, one of the latest consequences of drought. No significant rainfall expected across the state within the next 7 to 10 days. That could lead to additional water restrictions. Birmingham water officials say if home and business water consumption isn't reduced, they'll have to add a surcharge to customers' bills. And a bright flashing light seen across the Alabama sky yesterday morning was a meteor. NASA confirms it, says it was traveling about 90,000 miles an hour before it broke up. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Geico applauds your inner road name.
A slow clap goes out to your biker alter ego. You might be mild-mannered Michael in the office, the guy known for raising his hand in meetings, but out on the open road, it's Motor Mike. Geico supports you and your bike, Motor Mike, because beyond cars, Geico insures motorcycles, those glorious vroom vroom machines. With 24/7 customer service and great rates, the only thing you'll be raising from now on is a heck of a good time. So head out on the highway and make that road yours, Mike. Make it yours.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
Our veterans need you.
There are more than 8 million enrollees in healthcare at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Veterans from previous generations.
And veterans from today's wars.
Challenging medical conditions.
And more women returning than ever before.
Are redefining healthcare's provider.
Serve those who served our nation.
Bring your medical and healthcare skills to VA. America's heroes need you. Visit vacareers.va.gov.
News, choose three Alabama malls, the latest to join the pushback against opening Thanksgiving Day. CBL Associates and Properties, which operates Parkway Place Mall in Huntsville, Gadsden Mall in Gadsden, and Wiregrass Commons Mall in Dothan, says they'll remain closed on Thanksgiving and reopen for Black Friday shoppers at 6 a.m. that Friday. But malls, the latest to put the brakes on trends towards opening Thanksgiving. Last week, the country's largest mall, Mall of America, announced it will be closed on Thanksgiving. Huntsville Mayor Tommy Battle giving a State of the City address to 1,000 community and business leaders, touting various achievements in what is arguably the fastest growing city in Alabama. He says in the past 5 years, Huntsville's created 16,000 jobs and generated $2 million in capital investment. The Alabama Community College System hires Jeff Lynn. He'll be the system's senior executive of workforce and economic development. Officials stepping up efforts to work with the private sector to create and fill jobs. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
So this is Phil Collins.
That's
I
right.
I don't care anymore.
Yep.
So does he not care about the election, or does he not care about the football game?
Oh, it's the election. The important football is important. It is 5:55. We got 5 minutes to go, and we will be through for today. Looking forward to the weekend and some college football. Jay's going to help me with some picks here in just a minute. But before we do that, Jay, I want to give a couple of shout-outs. One, I want to congratulate Fairview High School volleyball team for winning the Cumberland County Volleyball Tournament earlier this week. It's the first time they've won it since 1999. So congratulations to the Lady Aggies volleyball team as they won the county tournament. Also, one other, this kind of announcement and a congratulations. That next Monday night will be the middle school football championship. It will be Good Hope against Hansville Middle School. Okay, so that will be played at Good Hope High School Stadium. Again, next Monday night. It will be Good Hope versus Hansville Middle School for the Middle School Cumberland County Championship. So if you get a chance, go down and check that out. You'll see some good football. Also, one other note, Jay, that I want to mention. Fairview High School, I sent a text to Chris Gamble, who is their principal. They will be hopefully playing their first home game, not tomorrow night, but next Friday night. It'll be the first one they've played on their campus in at least 2 years. So, again, next Friday night, Fairview hopes to be playing at home.
Brings a whole new meaning to the term homecoming.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we hope that works out for them. We'll double check it. Make sure, and then on Tuesday we will announce it again as to, you know, for definite that they're playing. But as it stands now, next Friday night, Fairview be playing at home. All right, here we go, Jay, with our picks. We'll do high school games first.
All right.
Holly Pond at Fultondale.
Fultondale by 7.
Okay. And I'm taking Fultondale. We'll just pick the winners, Jay.
Okay.
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 You got Fultondale.
Wipe my brow.
Yeah, we won't do the score. All right. Fultondale, and I also have Fultondale. All right. South side of Gadsden at Coleman High School.
Let's go Coleman.
You're going Coleman. I'm going to go south side of Gadsden. Okay.
I know nothing about that.
And I hope I'm wrong. Good Hope at West Point.
Good Hope at West Point.
Yep.
Good Hope.
Okay. That would be their first victory. I'm taking West Point. Cold Springs at Tanner.
Good Hope. Cold Springs.
Cold Springs.
They've been having a good season, right?
Yes, they have. And so has Tanner. I'm taking Tanner.
Well, what is Cold Springs' current stats?
I think they are...
Have they lost any?
They have not lost a region game. They're undefeated in the region, and Tanner is also undefeated in region. I think Cold Springs' record is 5-2, and Tanner is 4-3.
That one's going to be good.
That'll be a good one.
Yep.
You're exactly right. And that's at Tanner. So you got Cold Springs. I have Tanner. Locust Fort at Hansville.
What do I win if Cold Springs wins? I'll take one of Jason's steak dinners.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right, Locust Fort at Hansville.
Locust Fort.
I'm with you. Locust Fort. Susan Moore at Vinemont.
Vinemont.
I'm with you. Taking Vinemont. Fairview at Hayden.
Slow down a little bit. I'm not flipping my quarters quick enough. So.
Okay, sorry. Fairview, Hayden.
Fairview.
Okay. I've got Hayden. All right, now.
How is Fairview performing this year?
Okay. Their record's not as good as Hayden's, but they're okay.
Good deal.
They could win it. They could win it. All right, now on to the college football. Vandy at Georgia.
Georgia.
I'm with you. North Carolina State at Clemson.
Clemson, of course.
I'm with you. Wake Forest at FSU.
Tie.
Good luck with that one.
I don't know. What do you pick?
FSU.
Okay.
All right. Nebraska at Indiana. Nebraska's ranked 10th in the nation.
Probably Nebraska, then.
Yep, that's who I got. Ole Miss at Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I agree.
Okay.
That's who I'm taking. Stanford at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
That's who I got.
And I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing good. And that is all of the games that we're going to be picking this week.
I keep coming back to, you know, Tennessee and Arkansas, kind of raising my eyebrows.
Exactly. Going. That should be a good one. Oh, my goodness. What am I talking about? We got one more.
We don't want to jinx that one.
We got one more. Tennessee, Alabama.
Well, obviously Alabama.
Alabama, absolutely. So there you have it. It is now 6 o'clock, right on the nose. Another Sports Talk Live show has ended. Hey, thanks for joining us. Give us a call whenever you can. We'd love to hear from you. 737-9505 is our number. Have a great, safe weekend. May your college team win if it plays. Jay, thanks for helping out today, man.
Glad to help, man.
All right. Once again, this is Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
We'll put some Phil Collins back on for you. We're WRJMLP Coleman. See ya. Me.